All right. Good morning. Fritz Berggren, bloodandfaith.com, Boxing Day 2020. It's the day after Christmas 2020. Merry Christmas. Happy Jesus' birthday. I realize Jesus wasn't born on the 25th of December. We co-opted a pagan holiday from Germany where it was centered around the tree. If you remember Odin, he hung on the tree. Interesting parallels there. Man that hangs on a tree. Nevertheless, we're celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. And now it's the day after. But I want to talk about the birth of Jesus Christ. I want to talk about where Jesus Christ came from. It's an interesting story. Back in the Garden of Eden, when man sinned, Eve elevated her own mind above what she was told by her husband. She didn't trust. She thought she was smarter than her husband and smarter than God. She'll rationalize it out for herself. This was the subtlety of the devil. The devil said, you can figure out for yourself. You don't need to listen to other people. And the deep poison there was, in fact, she was listening to other people. She was listening to the devil. So the idea that you don't have to listen to anybody is false from the beginning. You're listening to somebody. You're getting your Bible from somewhere. You're getting your scriptures from somewhere. You're getting your priests and your prophets telling you what to do. It's either Jesus Christ, it's either the Bible, or it's another priest and prophet or another set of scriptures. Don't think it's not. I don't care, you know, what books they gave you in college. You've got your scriptures. All right, that's another sermon. So Eve does the no-no, convinces Adam to go the same way. God shows up in the garden, walking in the garden. That's Jesus Christ. He's God in the flesh. He said, hey, what's going on? Adam. What's going on, Adam? Adam. He goes to the man. The male has primacy. The male's the head. He goes to the male. Adam, what's going on? Adam's like, the woman made me do it. He's Eve, what's going on? He doesn't go to the devil. Devil's not in charge. God does not recognize the devil as being in charge. He goes to Eve. He said, Eve, what's going on? And she said, the devil made me do it. So you have this conversation, and he passes out some curses. But one of the interesting things that he does, he looks at Eve, and he looks at Satan, and he says, okay, here's the deal, guys. I'm going to put enmity, hatred, between your seed, devil, and her seed. And you may bruise her seed on the heel. He's going to crush your skull. And that is very, very important. The devil thought he had it set up. He thought he could destroy mankind. But before he could, God extracted a female out of Adam. And what the devil thought he could use against Adam, in fact, is used against the devil and is for mankind's salvation. Woman's very important. The woman is critical. Without the woman, there could be no salvation for mankind. Because the woman does not transmit blood. The male transmits blood. The male transmits descendancy. There is nowhere in the Bible where you can read where the bloodline is traced through a female. It doesn't exist. God does not recognize that. So he took from Adam a female, and when the fall happened, he told the devil and he told the woman, he said, there's going to be enmity and hatred between her seed and your seed, and her seed is going to crush you on the head. You got to listen to this. Descendancy only passes through the male. It doesn't pass through the female. When God had made Adam, it said Adam was made in the image of God. When Seth was born, he was in the image of Adam. Fast forward a long time, and God's talking to King Ahaz through his prophet, Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 7, if you want to look that up. He said, Ahaz, ask me for a sign. As high as the heavens, deep as hell. What do you want? I know you're surrounded. I know you're oppressed, repressed, in fear and trembling. Your hearts are shaking like the leaves on a tree. Ahaz is scared. He said, I'm not going to question God or ask you for a sign. God says, okay, I'll give you a sign. A woman's going to, a virgin will give birth. A virgin will give birth. Two chapters forward, it talks about Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. talks about the Prince of Peace. And the government will rest on his shoulders, and there shall be no end to the increase of his government. You go up and read in Matthew chapter 1 about how Mary, a woman who would know no man, becomes pregnant, conceived by God Almighty, by the Holy Spirit, and references back that verse in Isaiah, a virgin shall give birth. And this, in fact, references back to Genesis 3:15, where God said, I'm going to bring the seed of the woman, not the seed of Adam, but it's from this woman, and he's going to crush Satan on its head. Now, who does that mean Jesus Christ is? If Jesus Christ is not born of the offspring of Adam, who's he born from? He's born from God Almighty. The female does not transmit descendancy. What's the main characteristics of that descendancy since the time of Adam and Eve? It's the sin nature. The woman is incapable of transmitting that sin nature. It comes from the man. That's one reason why inheritance is of the male only, and this is one reason why the Messiah is born of a virgin. She didn't transmit the sin nature to Jesus Christ. God saw what the devil was going to do. He said, I got you, devil. I know where you're coming from. I know where you've been. I'm six steps ahead of you. Though the nations rage against him, he sits in the heavens and laughs. Before the devil could do his damage, he extracted a female from Adam, gave him as his mate. And he said, listen, from your seed, Eve, there's going to be enmity between your seed and the serpent's seed, between Satan's seed, and you'll crush him on the head. And he'll try to bruise you on the heel. So here's Mary, a virgin woman. She had never known a man. She had no blood covenant with a male. When the two come together, the Bible says when the male and the female come together, they become one flesh. She didn't have that. She was not one flesh with a male. And that's when the innocence is lost. And God caused Mary to conceive by the Holy Ghost. The Father of Jesus Christ is God Almighty. And he gave Mary a child that had no sin nature, outsmarting the devil. And Mary was able to give birth to a Savior who crushed Satan on the head. That's the Christmas story. That's the Christmas story right there. God extracted Eve from Adam. Eve did the no-no, yeah. And God told Adam and Eve and the serpent, he said, listen, this woman here, she's going to bear a seed. And he's going to crush the serpent on the head. And that is why inheritance is not traced down through the female. And that is why God was able to preserve a method for the Messiah to be born, through a woman who didn't have a blood covenant with a male and who was able to preserve that innocence and not pass down the sin nature. The biological mother of Jesus Christ is Mary, and she was innocent. She was unable to pass down that inheritance of sin because God didn't give that to the woman to do. When the woman is with her man and there's a blood covenant, then they become one flesh. They share in that sin nature. But it's from Jesus Christ. When we're born again of Jesus Christ, he gives us his blood. He washes us in his blood, and we're born again of the seed of the Word of God. And that changes us. This is why the story of the birth of Jesus Christ is so important, to understand that. And if you're still stuck in evolution, we evolved out of slime mold. I talked about this before, but get out of the cult. Come on, get out of the cult. Stop believing stuff that's insane. All right, got another message from Rebel Leader 1. Break. Rebel Leader 1. Here's what Rebel Leader 1 says. It's time to muster. Calling you out. Time to sign up. Stand up. Join the army. Join the army of God. We're going to build a Christian nation right here. We're not going to fiddle fart around with apologizing to the Antichrist. We're not going to do that. We're not going to do what we can to dance around their little... You ever seen in the old movies where a guy brings out a six-shooter and starts shooting at the feet of some guy and he's dancing around? That's what the devil and his children have been doing to us for so long. They're shooting away at our feet. And we're dancing and dancing and dancing, scared to death that we might get hit in the feet by one of their bullets. And they're laughing and laughing and laughing. Here's how they do it. Can't be sexist, racist, homophobic, queerphobic, intolerant, divisive, anti-Semitic, intolerant. Can't be a Hitler, a fascist. And we're dancing and dancing and dancing as fast as we can. And they're laughing at us because there is no point in which we're going to stop dancing as long as we believe those bullets are real. You got to get over the fact that they're going to call you dirty names. You got to get over that. You got to get over that. Stop trying to please the Antichrist. You got to get over that. Don't ever say, I'm not racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, queerphobic, intolerant, divisive, anti-Semitic. Don't waste your time. You're dancing. Just laugh at them, mock them, ridicule them. Wipe those words, put them in the garbage, write them down on a piece of toilet paper and use it. That's all they're good for. Stop dancing to their tunes. There's nowhere in the Bible that says you can't be all those things. That's number one. That's lesson number one. Stop being intimidated when they call you dirty names. What do you think they did to Jesus Christ? What do you think they did to him? They called him a drunkard. They said his mother was a harlot. They said he was full of the devil, not just the devil in general, but of a specific demon. Said, you're born of fornication, Jesus. Beelzebul, you do these things by Beelzebul. You're hanging out with drunkards. Oh, we don't want to hang out with somebody like him. He's an extremist. He's an extremist. He's racist, sexist, homophobic. We can't hang around with somebody like him. Ooh. Jesus Christ never positioned himself to be inoffensive to people. He never positioned himself to be inoffensive to people that hated him. Or even to the people that followed him. We've talked about that. Eat my flesh, drink my blood. Does that offend you? God's not interested in positioning himself to be inoffensive to you. So right now, the word from Rebel Leader number one is it's time to muster. Stand up. Stand up. Speak your peace. Don't know what to say? Pass on what I'm saying. Find some memes. Share some scriptures. Preach the gospel. Share a website. Share a YouTube video. Share a podcast. Share some memes. And it's not this. There's 10,000 of me out there. There's 10,000 guys like me out there. Either in action or getting ready to be in action. I'm just one dude out of 10,000. And you can't stop us. You will not stop us. Moral courage is the beginning. What comes out of your heart and mind and mouth is vastly more important than what you do with something in your hands. Now's not the time to do things with your hands or something that's in your hands. You better speak up and speak out, because if you don't have that, then whatever's in your hands isn't going to matter. Forget Q. Forget QAnon. I remember reading something that they wrote a year or two ago. I said, this guy's nuts. But that's not even my point. Here's the point. Stand up and be counted. Put your name on the list publicly. Put your name on the list as a soldier in the army of Jesus Christ. Put your name out there. Put your face out there. No more gray men. Gray men's over. Can't dox Fritz Berggren, bloodandfaith.com. Can't dox me. Face is right here. My name's right here. I ain't going away. Not going to shut up. Not going to sit down. Not going to color within your lines. Rebel Leader 1 says this. Put your name on the list. Make it public. Tell your friends. Tell your families. Share emails. Share websites. Share podcasts. Share videos. There's a lot of good stuff out there. And it ain't going to get out unless people are willing to stand up. So here's task number one. Start recruiting. Spread the message. Oh, they're going to call me a dirty name. You don't understand the position I'm in. Yeah, I know. It's tough. Gideon, man. Gideon. Here's the word. Gideon. You want a scripture? It's Gideon. For 10,000 of us, it's Gideon. Gideon was a great man. Shut up. Sitting down in that hole, beating out the wheat. Afraid of the Amalekites. God, when are you going to do something to save us? He said, stand up. Get up. I'm sending you to fight. He said, I'm nobody. I'm the least in my family, and my family's the least in the whole nation of Israel. God called him. And I'm betting you money. I realize Gideon was in charge. But I bet you money that there was another 10,000 people that got the same call at the same time Gideon does. And they all formed up and made that army. There's the 30,000 or the 20,000, and there's the 1,000, and there's the 300. And first thing Gideon had to do is he had to go down and tear his own dad's statues down. He had to go after, in his own household, the idols that had been set up. Now, his dad knew that what he was doing was wrong. And so when the men tried to come and kill Gideon, he said, Nope, if your gods are so strong, they can kill him without my help. I'm going to back my son up. And so Gideon made a decision that he thought it was going to cost him his life. But he did it. That's step number one in this recruitment process. Open up your mouth. That's it. Open up your mouth. Speak. Share some good ideas. Share the truth. Yeah, they're gonna be attacked, they're gonna be criticized, they're gonna be ridiculed, you're gonna be called racist, sexist, homophobic, queerphobic, intolerant, divisive, and anti-Semitic. And you gotta get over that. If you want to free yourself, the number one thing you have to do is stop being intimidated by the dirty names they call you. Stop being intimidated because they're gonna reject you. Why is it that you want to be friends with the Antichrist? Why is it that you care about them? You need to go there. So that's step number one of the plan. Right now we're in recruitment phase, and you got to be public. You're going to have your name. Years ago, I had someone tell me write an article, put a pen name on it. That's what everybody did back in the days of the revolution. Benjamin Franklin, pen name. He wrote under, I forget who he wrote under, but he did that. And you know, I understand the point. I got the point. But for me, which one of the disciples wrote under a pen name? Which one of the prophets hid his identity? Did Jesus Christ say, did he leave secret messages under rocks? Did he scrawl messages on the wall and run away and hide while people read what he said? Did he do that? Did they leave secret recordings somewhere and hope people read them so they got the message because everybody was afraid of the Jews? I'm not saying there's no reason to be afraid. I'm not saying that. I am not saying that at all. There's great reason to be afraid. Look what they did to Jesus Christ. Look what they did to Stephen. I'm not saying there's no reason to be afraid. There's a lot of people in the time of Jesus Christ that believed in Jesus Christ, that believed he was the Messiah. But they wouldn't say anything. They wouldn't say a word. And the Bible says they were afraid of the Jews. They were afraid to lose their reputation. They're afraid to be cast out of the synagogue. Back then, if you're cast out of the synagogue, you were non-personed. You become non-personed. You're unemployable. Nobody will work for you. You can't live anywhere. People see you in the street, they stay away from you. They have to stay so many feet away from you. You're non-personed. The Jews built a totalitarian system. The Pharisees built a totalitarian system. Jesus came to break it. They feared Jesus Christ because they knew he came to break their totalitarian system. Rebel Leader One says this: you're in a totalitarian system. Now you're finally waking up and realizing it. You're realizing what a totalitarian system you're in. You ready to break it, or you like these chains? You like these chains? You like it that you pay, you're forced to pay taxes to send your kids to public schools where they teach child abuse and they abuse your children? When they're pushing the LGBT agenda in public schools, that's child abuse. That's mental, emotional, and spiritual abuse, and it absolutely leads to physical abuse of your children that you're paying taxes for. You live in a totalitarianism system. Some of you are saying, Fritz, you can't say that. You can't say that. You can't say that. You're going to offend somebody. You're too radical. You're too extreme. Okay, fine. If that's where you're at, that's where you're at. Let your chains lay gently on you. If that's where you're at, that's where you're at. Pressure's going to keep coming until enough men stand up and say that's enough. Pressure's going to keep coming because you either stand up and serve our King, Jesus Christ, or you're going to lay under their chains and you will be destroyed. You will be destroyed. They don't care. They don't care that you try to get along with them. Eventually, you will be destroyed. That's the mission of the devil. So we're in a recruiting process right now. It's public. Stand up. Speak your piece. Don't tell me. I don't know who you are. I don't care who you are. I don't need your name. Don't want your name. There's no central node in this. There is a central node. Take that back. It's Rebel Leader One. And he's been speaking to you. He's been speaking to you guys. He's been telling you. I'm telling you. He's been giving you dreams. He's been putting things in your heart. He's been building this up inside of you. You're being called. We're going to build a Christian nation right here in North America. And I will work with any other people group on the planet to build a Christian nation where they want to build one too. Africa, Asia, doesn't matter. Europe. We're going to build Christian nations. Any flag that doesn't have the flag of Jesus Christ on it, we're going to redesign that flag. And we're going to put the cross of Jesus Christ on that flag. And a star, the cross of Jesus Christ, representing Jesus Christ as our King. We have a King. Is this a political movement? Absolutely, it's a political movement. Jesus Christ is a political figure. He's the King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. It's not a religious feature. He's a figure of power. He created the universe. That's political. He's the governor. He's the Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government. So we're in a stage of rebellion. We're in a stage of rebellion against the so-called king of the world, the devil, and his children. And we plant the flag. We plant the flag of Jesus Christ. We plant the cross. This is the recruiting phase. I know. Some of you are saying, Fritz, what's the plan? How are you going to get there? I don't understand. Where are we going to end up? Hey, that's top secret. That's classified. You don't need to know. Guess what? I don't need to know. That all comes. It all comes in good time. But first, you got to start moving. Back to Ahaz. Ahaz was in fear and trembling because he was surrounded by his enemies. You and I are surrounded by our enemies. I'm some dude in a room on a microphone. You think I got anything more than that? I don't. But this is where it starts. If you can't open up your voice and preach the gospel and speak the truth, nothing in your hands matters. Starts here. Heart. We're going to build Christian nations. Some of you are saying, well, I don't want somebody to tell me what my morality is, impose their religion on me. What do you think's going on in the United States today? What do you think's going on with CNN and the universities? They're imposing their morality on you. They're imposing their cult on you. They're a cult. They're in a cult. They are a cult. They have their cult leaders. You're part of that cult. Get out of it. Come on out of it, man. Get out of that cult. But it's a radical break. You can't live your life making the Antichrist happy and make the King of Kings happy. You got to make that break. And let them call you your dirty names. What's the worst they can do to you? Come on, people. What's the worst they can do to you? Have you no hope? So Ahaz is there. He's surrounded by these enemies. They're going to come and crush him. They're going to utterly destroy his people. God gives him word. He says, listen, man, who do you think I am? You think I'm nothing? You think I'm a little religion? Come on, Christians. Who do you think Jesus Christ is? A religion? Do you really think Jesus Christ is a religion to make you feel better in your heart? Go home. Go be a Judeo-Christian. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. He's got this. He's not the issue. He's not the problem. It's Christian men standing up, being counted. And now's the time. Rebel leader one, the man that rose from the dead. You think this intimidates him? Do you think the fact that they own every institution in the United States of America and the world, you think that intimidates him? Doesn't intimidate him. That's nothing. That's easy. That's easy stuff for him. So recruitment phase, stand up, be counted, put your name out there, put your face out there. Forget Q. Anybody hiding behind the anonymity is not part of the plan. Nope, don't. I reject that. You're hiding behind anonymity. Nobody knows who you are. You tell me which one of the apostles went out and preached hiding behind a block of stone. You tell me which one. You tell me about the parable where you light a lantern and you put it in a house and you don't cover it up. You make sure the cover's off it so the light shines. People don't like it when the light shines. They scream. Ever walked into a dark room, turn the lights on your kids, and they're screaming? That's what you and I need to do. Turning the light way up. Not a little bit, but way up. Don't hold back. Hit every one of their idols. Hit every one of them. Make them scream a little. Fritz Bergen, bloodandfaith.com, Boxing Day 2020. Out.